Keith McPherson on The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back from the stadium with ease. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're about to talk about sports. Spoiler alert, you guessed it. 877 337 6666. If you like to talk about New York sports, if you care about the New York Yankees, call me up. If you care about the New York Mets, call me up. If you just can't wait till the Knicks go down to Wells Fargo tomorrow, call me up. 'Twas the night before the NFL draft, and all through the city, we couldn't wait to find out who would be our next man. No Diddy, let's go! So tonight was the right night to go to the stadium. I knew not to go Monday. Ump show. Disaster. Vibes were ruined right away by Hunter Wendelstead. Yesterday, a decent night to go, but it was kind of cold. Windy. You got one inning's worth of runs, and then it was like, come on, man. Are these the New York Yankees? Those were the New York Yankees tonight. Those were the Oakland A's tonight. This is a series where the Yankees are supposed to get right. That's what it's supposed to look like in the Bronx. Man, shout out to everybody that I ran into. Shout out to the people that I was able to bless and hook up. I know I did a show on like a Saturday or a Sunday, and I had a guy call that said that, you know, he's just not able to buy tickets to the Yankee game. And it took me back to a time in my life when I didn't even think about going to the Yankee game because I just, there was no way. I couldn't afford the travel. I couldn't afford the ticket. I couldn't afford concessions. It's just, I watch it on TV. It wasn't even an option to go to the game. And that day, I was like, you know what? I wish I could help that guy. I wish I could. And I was like, you know what? I've been giving away tickets for years. Let me get on my job. Let me figure out how to bless some people. And today, I was able to give away 7 seats. And I'm glad because that's the right game to go to. We picked the right game. That was the right vibe. That was the right energy. Right away. You know, all the talk about Aaron Judge, and it's funny how many people online and in person are like, you think Judge is hurt? I don't want him to be. I don't know. I don't have his cell phone number. I'm not around the guy. All I know is he's not himself. But he started to look right last night. He started to make contact, have some better at-bats. And then right away tonight, I'm in center field. Shout out to the guys from Mickey's Pub, Alvin and the gang. I'm in center field coming off a roll call. Bottom of the first, and we're talking about Judge. And he gets rang up on a 98-mile-an-hour four-seam fastball outside looking. And I'm like, yo, what's going on, Judgy? And then he got a mulligan. I'm like, wait, what happened? Pitch clock? Balk? Okay. And then the next thing you know, he hits one out, and I'm doing the circle above my head. All rise! There's the Judge. Judge got right. And the tone was set right there. The Yankees continued to pour it on and do what they had to do against the Oakland A's. I mean, that's the first time you've seen Soto and Judge homer in the same game. You get another homer from Rizzo. Rizzo, stay hot. Rizzo looks like he's locked in. It was like, everybody get some. Did Austin Wells get some? Yeah, even Austin Wells got some, raised his average up. Anthony Volpe, just, you know, he's on top of the ball a little bit. He's hitting a lot of ground balls, but He's hustling them out. 2 hits, a ribby. I put together a bunch of parlays. Honestly, between Verdugo and Cabrera, they smoked my parlays. And of course, when you're betting, you know, it's more money for those guys. They're lower in the lineup, and the lower part of the lineup have been doing damage. But either way, even Gleyber Torres, I swear, I wouldn't lie on the radio. This mic tells the truth. Shout out to my guys, my BX brothers, Chris, Earl, Sean. We were sitting in the front row of legends, and I literally could talk to Glaber. And when Glaber grounded out, I think his second at bat, I'm like, Glaber, it's all right. Or maybe it was his third at bat. I'm like, you're going to get one more. And he got one more, and he hustled it out, and he got a hit. And I'm like, good, Glaber. And I hope that that gets Glaber Torres going. I hope that Glaber Torres gets right, because the lineup is the lineup. I don't know if you've heard me say that. I don't know if you've seen me tweet that. The lineup is the lineup. There's not that many options. DJ's not coming back. And not for a little while. Jason Dominguez, you're not even hearing updates on. Don't even think about that. This bench, there's nobody that you rather see sit in this lineup in favor of someone on the bench. The lineup is the lineup. These guys have to produce. And that was my whole sentiment with Judge. He's always productive. He's always dominant. And he didn't look like himself for a little while. Okay, it was an early season slump. Emphasis on the word early. It's early until it's not, right? It's almost May. A week from today, it's May. And then once it's May, we start looking at how many at-bats these guys have. Over 100 at-bats. How many series these guys have been in. How many games played. And it's like, no, we're in it now. We're in the flow and the grind of the season now. And we're starting to look at things for what they actually are. So shout out to the New York Yankees going out there tonight. Hitting the over. 7 runs. And, I felt like it was a party in there. I felt like everybody was getting some. I felt like it was good to see 3 guys homer in the middle of that lineup, the guys that you expect to produce, some guys having multi-hit nights, padding their stats a bit against the Sacramento A's. 877-337-6666. I meant to bet on Francisco Lindor to homer today. If you would have put $10 on Francisco Lindor to homer twice today, that would have turned into probably $600-$700. Shout out to Francisco Lindor for keeping at it. And shout out to the Make It Happen Mets for making it happen. As soon as Blake Snell got scratched, and boy, Yankee fans, all that crying that we did, we got to get Blake Snell. Gerrit Cole is down. Sign him. Just get him, please. What are we going to do? Brian Cashman, I tip my cap to you, New York Yankees. Salute to you for just saying, hey, we offered the guy. He didn't take the offer. We pivoted to Marcus Stroman. We're not going back on that. And, man, a little sidebar here. When you think about the Scott Boras guys and how much time they missed, it affected them. Cody Bellinger's on the IL as well as Blake Snell. JD Martinez, where you at? Hurry up. He's on the way back. These guys, man, Scott Boras, if Scott Boras is my agent, I'm firing him. I'm moving on from him. Because, man, he fumbled the bag for these guys this offseason, and he slowed their time in spring training and preparation and getting ready for the season, and now they're hurt. 877-337-6666. Scott Boras, maybe you should talk to Brian Cashman about one Juan Soto photo. He's not going anywhere. You know that. He's not putting on another jersey. Redeem yourself. Talk to Brian Cashman. Start crunching them numbers now. You know Cashman's not going to flinch because the Yankees already have the leverage. I was out there for roll call. I saw the Dominican flags in the air. I know whose name gets chanted the loudest. This is Juan Soto land, 877. You know the number to dial. So I started talking about Lindor and the Mets as soon as Blake Snell got scratched today and they had to go to a last-minute bullpen game. Just what the doctor ordered. Stop the bleeding. Losing streak? No. Time to get right. You better call Tyrone. Tyrone Taylor's pretty good. And when he got announced as being a Met coming over from the Milwaukee Brewers, obviously David Stearns knew something about the guy. People were like, oh, bum. Who? Tyrone Taylor? What? Never heard of him. Ball today. 2 hits. Homer early, 3 RBI. Lindor ball today, obviously. 2 homers, 4 hits, 4 RBI. Get right, Frankie. Get right. Especially with the absence of Francisco, the other Francisco. Alvarez, you need guys to step up, and they did. Alonzo, Beatty rocking the El Troll shirt. I need one of those. Just kidding. You know I'm not going to wear that. But I do love Francisco Alvarez. That's my favorite Met. 877-337. Yankee fans, Mets fans, call me up. It's your show. It's your station. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to enjoy the wins because the Mets put up 8 runs and defeated the Giants 8-2. They didn't get swept, even though they lost the series. They split the homestand. They won two in Dodger Stadium. They won two, or they won one in Oracle Park. That's 3-3. Good enough. They're 13-11. They're still above 500. They're coming home to rock their City Connect uniforms to play the measly Cardinals and continue on this season as we figure out what they actually are. And the Yankees putting up seven runs against the Oakland A's. Good. You're supposed to get fat on teams like that, man. You're supposed to pad your stats. You're supposed to see it. You're supposed to lock in and do damage against those guys. And they did. It was a fun night at the stadium. Shout out to you if you were there. If you're driving home, call me up. If I ran into you, call me up. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm on till 2 a.m. We're going to talk about everything, of course, but we'll hit the baseball first. I see you Knicks fans quick on the dial. I mean, I was in there talking to a few of the Bleacher Creatures and some of my other friends. They're going down to Philly. Like, why wouldn't you? Let's see. Sixers tickets. I mean, think about what the Sixers fans are doing right now. Crying still about the two-minute report. Crying still about it should have been a foul. Bailing on their team, not spending money on their team because they already know it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to get bounced. If you can't afford to go to Madison Square Garden, why wouldn't you just gas up the tank, hit the turnpike, and go to Wells Fargo? You can, for the price of one ticket in Madison Square Garden, you can buy two in the Wells Fargo Center. If you take over that building, listen to my words. I've been down there before. The first time I went down there was the first Union Center. I went to see AI. If you take over that building, which we've seen Knicks fans do before, thoughts become things. Next thing you know, Embiid's knee starts to hurt even more. Next thing you know, Maxey's shots are not falling. Next thing you know, Jalen Brunson is coming alive. Let's go Knicks chance start to break out. And if they feel like they're on the ropes in game three, you already know. I don't even have to tell you, man. You can't give them any life. There's blood in the water. You got to step on their necks. I think the Knicks fans gotta get down to Philly if there's ever a reason to go to that dirty-ass city and be around those filthy fans. It's to go support the Knicks in the playoffs. They need you. They need you. And those tickets are not that expensive. There's plenty to be had. 877-337-6666. I've been saying Knicks in five, but I mean... Let's see what happens tomorrow. This is the game. This is the swing game. This is the game that, honestly, like the Sixers must win. They have to have it. Sixers fans are calling out everybody on the team. Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry. Do something. It can't just be a two-man show. The Knicks have an 8-9-man show if they want to. If they want to get a ninth man off the bench. They have a squad. They have a team. They hustle. They play tough. And now they've had a couple nights to rest, and you know the Villanova kids are very familiar with that area. They're going back home. They're comfortable down there. I'm telling you, this is the game. If the fan base goes down there to support them and turns that place into Madison Square Garden, it could be a wrap in the second half. 877-337-6666. The Giants and the Jets in this draft have to get crafty, in my opinion. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of he said, she said. There's a lot of reporters getting information. And no one knows exactly what's going to happen. But to get, you got to give. And I know there's reports that the Giants potentially want to move. Yes, 2 days ago. I mean, for the last 3 weeks, it was J.J. McCarthy. For the last 2 days, it was Drake May. Now today, it's Michael Penix Jr. I wouldn't believe anything until I see it. I wouldn't believe anything until I see it. But what I do believe is that they have power. Both the Jets and the Giants have the power to trade up or trade back or stay right where they are and get a really solid player. Now, we know that the Giants need a quarterback. You can't tell me that Daniel Jones is going to be healthy for training camp. And even if he is, you can't tell me that he's going to be effective. Drew Lock to me is a practice arm. Drew Lock to me is an emergency quarterback. Tommy Cutlets is a great story. Brian Daboll needs his quarterback. They are going to do everything they can to shake the trees, pick up the phones, talk to every contact that they have to move up. But, I mean, it's the NFL. It's a quarterback-driven league. So many teams need quarterbacks. So many teams are trying to move up. And so many times it's all about connections and rivals and who knows who and who doesn't want to trade with who and what you're willing to give up. It's going to get crazy tomorrow. I think they're good no matter what, the Giants and the Jets, right? So the scenarios of the Giants moving up to get a Drake May or to get a J.J. McCarthy, I was telling you guys last night, and this is before the Michael Penix stuff came out. I was telling you guys last night, I think Michael Penix Jr. is the second best quarterback behind Caleb Williams in this draft. And if the Giants like him, if Daboll likes him, I think you can get him at 6, stay there. Or just stay there and take the best receiver available that could be Malik Nabers. Like, it's all about playing the board. It's all about, they need to be on the phones talking to everyone. We know Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. Chicago, you guys saw the renderings of what they're planning on building in Chicago, the second city. I've been to Chicago a lot. My homies in Chicago say it's not going down. But if they build that dome and they do what they plan on doing there, like Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2. I think those two are pretty much locked. Jaden Daniels can say he'd rather go to the Raiders and Antonio Pierce. Yeah, well, I'd rather drive a Lamborghini and, you know, you don't get to do that. You get picked where you get picked. You go play where you're going to play. I think those two quarterbacks come off the board first. I don't think the Patriots are sold on Drake May. I think with Jacoby Brissett, they think, hey, this is a veteran quarterback, first-year head coach. We can see what we have here. We can add some other pieces to this team because they need a lot. They also have Bailey Zappe. I think that they might not be sold on Drake May. Maybe Brian Daboll's pastime in New England, he has a connection over there to trade up with them. What do I know? What do you know? None of us know. That's why the draft is so intriguing and exciting. And I just think there's no way you can lose. I think J.J. McCarthy would be a lose. I think if you trade up to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy, he's a project. I don't think he helps you win right now. I don't think he's better than Daniel Jones, Drew Locke. I think Michael Penix Jr. can throw that ball. I think he steps in, makes an impact. I think you could stay at 6 and get him. But also, you lost Saquon Barkley. You need a playmaker. The Giants never have a true number one wide receiver. Malik Nabers is there. You take him. But he might as well be a Charger. They have no number one wide receiver. Like, we're going to do this all night, folks. 877-337-6666. The Jets could take Bowers. That's a sexy pick. I know you Jets fans are dreaming of having a George Kittle type. That's the comp for him. A Travis Kelce of your own, a Sam Laporta of your own, could be Brock Bowers, but you always have issues on the offensive line. What derailed your season last year? Your quarterback went down 4 plays in. You got to keep that old man upright. I would just put another layer of insurance on that and draft the best offensive tackle or trade up and get the best wide receiver or whatever it is. But we've got plenty to do, plenty to talk about. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about. Giannis is still hurt. So Knicks fans are already looking ahead to the next round. We'll see. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're already up against it. We got to go to the break and the update. Can't wait to talk to you. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, we call this KM to 2 a.m. We have 3 hours to take calls and talk all about the sports. Can't wait to do this show and then do tomorrow night's show. I'm not going to the game tomorrow because there's NBA, there's NHL, there's NFL draft, there's MLB. There's too much, so I got to be glued to the TV at the crib. But yeah, tonight was the right night to go to Yankee Stadium. Shout out to you if you made the trek up there. I got to hear the Yankees win. The Yankees win. Bam, 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 bam. I was like, I love this. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Yankees. It just differentiates them playing Frank every game when it's a win or a loss. You can't say the Yankees win when we lose. It is a different feeling. 877-337-6666. My guy Zig is back on the Fan from Trenton. Go for it, Zig.
What's happening, Keith? Speaking of
New York, New York. I remember back in the old stadium, they only played Frank when we won. They played, I believe it was like the Liza Minnelli or somebody, or Barbara Streisand version when we lost.
Liza Minnelli or something like that. I don't think it was Barbara Streisand, but it's for the tourists, right? Because all these people come to Yankee Stadium one time or for the first time, and they don't care. They don't even know the players, so they just want to hear that bam, 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 and that. But me, I'd be tight when we lose and they play that. I'm like, stop. I literally tell people, stop singing.
I don't even want to hear it. Exactly. But I'll be in MSG South tomorrow. I got an baseball practice a little early so I can get down there. But I'll be down there.
Good.
Before I get to the Yanks point, Sweezen, Cowboys, you know they're going to draft an offensive lineman tomorrow night, so it's not even worth watching. It's what we need to do. But
I can't with the Dallas Cowboys. Did Jerry Jones say that they were the 24th best team? That's why they're drafting 24th. Jerry Jones said a bunch of dumb stuff the other day. I'm mark my words, bro. I am not putting on another Dallas Cowboys piece of clothing for a long time. I just can't get jiggy with it anymore. It sucks.
Talk about being all in. They haven't done anything. They did the opposite. Zero chips in the table.
You get bounced by the youngest team in playoff history, embarrassed at home right away. You go to the media and say, you're going to see us take more of an all-in approach this offseason. Then when you actually sat down, Jerry Jones, and looked at all the money and the numbers and the figures, you couldn't go all in. So now you did nothing. You signed Eric Kendricks. And
exactly.
Royce Freeman?
Yep. So we'll see. So we'll see come, August, come training camp. But anyway, to the Yanks. Had to win today, have to win tomorrow, have to win the series against the A's. I like what I've been seeing from Judge. I like him going the other way. Being a coach, like seeing him going the other way. When you're bad, it means you're just seeing it a little bit deeper. So hopefully he starts to come around. Rizzo, like seeing him with the homer tonight. He's been hitting well. Me and my friends have an inside joke. We call him Jerry, the guy from Little Big League that Billy Haywood has to release, but he likes him because he likes his baseball card. So we've been calling him Jerry. So it's nice to see Jerry getting after it. But our guy Glaber, he looks absolutely lost, and we've been sticking with him through thick and thin. But I don't know, it's getting real thin lately. He needs to figure maybe one of those phantom IL stints. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, the lineup is the lineup. It's him. You can't put Jamai Jones in. It's like, bruh. And DJ now is set back for another month.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that today. That's tough.
How long is John Birdie going to take to come back? Put John Birdie at second base. Or put him at third and put Oswald. No, leave Oswaldo at third so he can keep being comfortable. Put John Birdie at second base. Glaber, I don't know. I hope that, like I said, that little infield single that he had that he beat out, I hope that gets him going. I saw him look to the sky and point to the sky with his head up with both hands. I'm like, hopefully that gives this kid some confidence and he gets going.
Right, or maybe he needs to lay down a bunt like Billy Brubaker in summer catch. But
this is Glaber Torres. He can hit for power. He can hit doubles. He can crack the. I don't know, bro. Glaber looks like he feels the pressure of the walk year. He feels the pressure of, like, you have to have the best year of your career and you're off to a terrible start. And I don't know what to do for the guy.
Hopefully him playing with Soto makes him relax a little bit. And speaking of Soto, just give that guy a blank check. I'll end the call with that. Take it easy, Keith, and have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Zig. No, we don't have to give Soto a blank check. I'm starting to see this a little differently. The Yankees have the leverage. Think about it. Soto loves playing in Yankee Stadium. He loves being in the pinstripes. He loves the BX, Del Amigo Personal. He loves the DR love that he gets from the Dominicans in the Bronx as home. He skips out onto that field. He crosses that foul line. He can't wait. That Juan Soto goes off. He bows. He crosses his arm. He gives up everything, like, thank you. He talks to the fans. He's throwing balls to the fans. He does not want to go anywhere. He found his true north. He's home. Juan Soto is home. This is Juan Soto land. They got to remove the judges chambers, bruh. We got to build something over there for Juan Soto. I got to get clever and think of what they're going to name 103 over there, 104 over there for Juan Soto. The Yankees have the leverage. That's why Brian Cashman's like, yeah, we're going to enjoy this year. Yeah, that's great and all, but, he's on the team for this year. Mm-hmm. Yep. You can't make it seem like you're going to hand them everything. Let's see how the season keeps going. What I was saying to you guys earlier in the week is, okay, how come it's early for Aaron Judge, it's not early for Soto? In regards to not their performance, in regards to your reaction to them, right? Because, there's, I mean, the fan base is split. There's some people panicking over Judge. There's some people, hey, it's early. It's Aaron Judge. He's going to figure it out. Looks like he has against the A's the last couple days. But what I mean is, like, with Juan Soto, he's on this tear early, and it's blank check him, Hall of Fame him, MVP, MVP. He's going to cool off at some point. Maybe not. But, you know, it's not early for Juan Soto. He seems to be in mid-season form. 877-337-6666. Call me up if you were at the game. Darren from East Islip was at the game.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm just driving home with my 8-year-old son. We were also fortunate enough to be in legend seats. I don't know if you heard the us, you know, supporting the Yankees, but I'm calling because I thought, well, first of all, Soto Land, I think, is a good land, is a good name for out there.
It looks like Juan Soto, I mean, Land.
Dude, him and Judge and Verdugo were going back and forth with the crowd. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I love how the DR crowd shows up and supports
with the flags.
Their player.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it, dude. And I think if Judge can embrace it, and I think we had something special.
Of course, you know, I didn't entertain the conversation around, oh, is Judge jealous of Juan Soto? No, Judge is a giant. He's a giant amongst men. Judge isn't jealous of anybody. He's making $40 million a year. Like,
I know. And I'm only saying that because I heard people saying they were bullying him. And I think that's just ridiculous.
No, that's not.
We got something going here, and we should be excited. That's all I want to say.
Judge is happy he doesn't have to do it on his own.
So I thought it was pretty cool, and let's go Yankees, man. Have a great night. I love the show, man. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Darren. Shout out to you and your son. I was in Legends, and everybody is always bugging, trying to get the ball. My homie Sean got a ball from Rizzo, of course, in the first inning when I was doing roll call and making my rounds. I'm like, I would have definitely snagged that ball from you. But Juan Soto, he crosses the foul line, and he's going to throw a ball to the fans, and he does like a backwards like shot, like, you know how people do the underhanded half court shot behind the back, like not looking. He does that with the ball, and it hits the like high rope of the net, and it doesn't make it all the way up like he was trying to send it. It bounces into the first row and completely missed. But it was funny because, you know, someone ended up getting that ball, and I was like, you couldn't do that again if you tried. They are having fun. It's baseball, man. It's Yankee Stadium. It is a first-place team with a bunch of characters. They're supposed to enjoy this. It's supposed to be like this. That's what it's supposed to look like. Taylor from Maryland, you're on The Fan in New York.
Hey, man. I'm a relatively new listener, but I love what you got going on here. I'm blessed enough to have 660. When I sit in my driveway in Maryland, I can get it clear as day. So I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing. Go Yankees. I'm excited. I'm going to be there May 17th. And, yeah, man.
I think you can listen on the Odyssey app in Maryland.
It's not the same, though, man. I mean, I listened to John Sterling with my dad for years in the truck.
Understood.
In 2009, we sat in there. I mean, we were watching it on Fox, but we listened to him call the Yankees win the World Series. It's one of my favorite memories, honestly.
Understood. Say no more. Thanks for the call, Taylor. I mean, you know, the Odyssey app is great. I was just talking about how, I think last night I was saying, how people have predicted the death of radio or even the collapse of WFAN. People crack me up with that on the internet. Oh, this is the demise, the downfall of WFAN. Where? What are you talking about? In the ratings? On social media? There's no evidence of that. And you might not like some of the hosts. You might not like me. It's like, it's just crazy how many people are negative online that are say stuff about me, don't like me, but you know everything I say. You know exactly what I said. So it is what it is, man. With the Odyssey app and the ability to go back, it's great. Because if you don't want to stay up tonight till 2 a.m., you can get up in the morning and start your commute or your workout or your breakfast or whatever and catch up from there. Excuse me, or you can go to the app and hit podcast. Everything gets podcasted. In the past, it's like, you know, you got to listen to the live radio that night, and that's it. All technology has done is help the radio, and social media has helped the radio. Man, social media helps me a ton. Like, I have a bunch of people that listen to this show because they see my Twitter account. They see my Instagram, my TikTok. I've had people reach out. They're like, oh, I just saw your post from the stadium. I didn't realize you were a radio host. I'm like, yeah, I go to the game, and then I dip out of the game, and I drive to the radio station to talk to the fans. 877-337-6666. Let's get a Mets call in. We talked about the Mets in the open. I know the game was earlier today, but we have to share this station, folks. Josh and Passaic, you're on the Fan in New York. What's up, kid?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I am fantastic. I had a blast tonight.
So it's me. So I enjoy the weather when it's outside, but our air conditioning broke down, so it's just here. So I feel it in here, too. But the Mets, fantastic win today. I really think the first two games, or at least the first game versus the Giants, was affected by that loss to the Dodgers. So hopefully this will rebound them. There's no reason they shouldn't sweep the Cardinals, and if or at least win two out of three, because I do have Sonny Gray going, who's, ever since he left the Yankees, has been pretty solid and pretty good. And great to see Lindor. He doubled his average, over 200. Whether it has anything to do with the ovations or just a bad start, I don't know.
Just having more at-bats, he's Francisco Lindor. Right. He said that in the beginning of the season. I'm Francisco Lindor. There's a reason he is Francisco Lindor. He's not going to suck the whole year. He saw it today. And he looked like a stud today.
And at least Jeff McNeil is no longer unwatchable. He's finally coming through. The first few weeks were brutal. He's finally getting those liners, those ground ball base hits. Finally looking like a solid player, not the horrible one the beginning of this year. And I just want to say with Diaz, not so much on the velocity, but you know he's giving up hits. I feel like he's just taken not a step back, but a drop of one. Hopefully, it's just because of the injury and he'll recover more.
This is his first season back. He's not going to, you know, he's going to have some bumps in the road. We know he's ridiculous. But, like, the guy missed the whole year. So, we know he's dominant. He's got great stuff.
Because of that injury.
Yeah, but I just, you know, none of these guys are going to be perfect. And you can't predict baseball. They should sweep the Cardinals. But who knows what's going to happen. I think you got to be happy with how they have responded to the way that they started the season. Everybody was laughing at them. Everybody was ready to quit on them. Myself included, I was like, they're bums. These guys suck. And then they went on the road, figured it out, and they go on the road again. Lindor got right over these last six games. Like, fans were calling me. Someone called me last night, like, he shouldn't be a switch hitter. I'm like, who are you to say that this man should not be a switch hitter? Like, let these guys keep working at it. They get paid a lot of money to work at it. They watch tape of themselves. They get in the batting cage. They don't want to suck. And when you see a guy like Francisco Lindor have a game like he had today, it just it kind of backs off some of the naysayers, some of the haters, some of the skeptics.
And then with the Knicks, I really don't think the series is over. Right? These are two games that maybe the first one not as much, but still that game. These could have been easily Philly wins. Right? We saw with the non-foul call.
Well, you're a Nets fan, Josh. I don't know. I'm a Nets fan too, and for the life of me, I can't understand how people are saying these easily could have been losses. No, they won the game. Like, easily could have been. They won the game. The final score was in their favor. So you can't say that. Like, everybody's trying to find every way to pick apart the Knicks' first two wins. Instead of just saying they gutted it out. Those were gritty wins.
The series isn't over.
They earned those wins. We can't devalue them.
Because I really want to see, as much as, you know, I'm a Nets fan right now going for the Knicks, I really just want to see Embiid get out. He's just such an annoying player for me.
Yeah.
As I said this.
I got no love for
him. Him, Giannis, I love seeing these guys lose.
Me too. I can't wait till Embiid cries in the car. Thanks for the call, Josh. And like, you know what it is? You've seen the Knicks suck for so long. You've seen the Knicks fail for so long. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You almost can't believe that they're up 2-0, but they're the number two seed. And if you watch those games, their best player has not been at his best. Their best player has been double and triple team. Their best player has been fouled and not getting calls. The coach spoke to it today. Man, take the win, right? That win, the last win they got in the Garden with seconds to go, the Philadelphia broadcast was talking about, let's head down the turnpike. They snatched the victory from the jaws of defeat. And it seems like fans aren't content with that. I'm not like that, bro. I always am like, win ugly. TWTW, the will to win. find a way. I'll take it. A win is a win is a win is a win is a win, and is also going to be a win. They're up 2-0 in the series. We know the series isn't over. Historically, we've seen plenty of series get blown going up 2-0. But what you have to rest on is the fact that, like, are they going to be able to keep Jalen Brunson under 30 points through the course of the next 2, 3, 4 games, if it is even 4 games? I don't know. I don't think so. And I know you want to say it's not sustainable for Josh Hart to keep this up. Okay, maybe it isn't. Maybe it is. Like, we don't know. That's why we watch the games. I can't take the devaluing. Whether it's Knicks haters or Knicks fans that are pessimistic, man, you're up 2-0 going down to Philly where you don't have to fly there. You just ride there down the turnpike, and you've got 3 guys that played college games there. You've won there this year. Your fans can show up. They don't have to get on a flight to support the team. The odds are kind of in your favor. Embiid is hobbled. If Maxey struggles, is Tobias Harris going to beat you? Is Nick Batum? I don't know. I can't wait to see the game. Tomorrow's going to be a great day for sports fans. 877-337-6666. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
Welcome.
The Casamigos big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. We're pouring up a double shot tonight. First one goes to Francisco Lindor. Get right out west before you come back home. Save some of that for when you come back home. I mean, the guy goes up there, gets the party started. He's got 4 hits, 2 homers, 4 RBI. Oh my, that's why you pay him the big bucks. That's the guy you're looking for. It's early, and he got it to you early. Appreciate you, Francisco Lindor. You are who you said you were. And all rise, here comes the judge. Aaron Judge is not hurt. Aaron Judge is fine. He's seeing it. He tweaked his stance, where he puts his hands, whatever. Man, it was surreal to see that mulligan he got today. He was out. It was just strikeout looking. And he comes back into the batter's box and starts the party and the boogie down with the solo shot early. And then he adds on with another hit, 2 RBIs on the night. And Darren Judge, you get some kudos too, brother. Good to see you looking good out there. 31,000 plus in attendance. You picked the right game to go to if you went to Yankee Stadium tonight. 877-337-6666. Yeah, great to see Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Homer, and the Yankees put up 7 runs and not have so many scoreless innings. They scored in the first, they scored in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. That's what it's supposed to look like against the poverty Oakland, Sacramento, soon-to-be Las Vegas A's. 877-337-6666. Doug is in Washington Heights, up next on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good.
Last time I called, you might remember, you had to cut me off suddenly because my Waze app was on and it was talking. So I understand why you cut me off, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, it's in the past. Let bygones be bygones. I'm not holding it against you.
Very good, sir. But usually I call about the Giants, but even though the draft is tomorrow, I'm actually calling you about the Yankees because I'm a Yankees fan too. And a minute ago, hearing why with Aaron Judge and Soto, you know, with Soto, people are freaking out because of the great start. But Judge, everyone's like, what's wrong with Judge? And I think I actually have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay, so with Judge, we all know what he is as Yankee fans. We're used to him being a beast. And right now he's not being a beast. And we've never witnessed this slump, because he's had those slumps before. We've never seen the slump to start the season. So it's more pronounced. Meanwhile, sorry, I'm going up a fifth floor walk.
I was about to say,
so I'm a little out of breath.
My boy, you in the gym? You working out late?
Oh, get that's awesome. Put those both together. I made it. Anyway, with Soto, he's a great acquisition. You know, he's a superstar. And in recent history, any time the Yankees get a superstar, in year one, it feels like even if they do okay, they don't live up to expectations. whether it's A-Rod, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton, whether it's Giambi. Meanwhile, Soto, year one, he is exceeding expectations. And I think that's why people are flipping out. And you put one against the other, and it just becomes more pronounced. I'm on the radio, hon.
I'm going to let you go, Doug. I'm going to let you go handle that, bro. I'm going to let you talk to your wife. You made it up the steps. I'll take it from here. Yeah. Juan Soto, when you get to see him every day, when you get to watch his at-bats, when you get to see how he plays with the pitchers, you get to see how every pitch is a battle, the shuffle, the pounding his hip, the nodding, the head wagging, the checking back with the ump, it's different. I don't want to see him play for another team. I'm hoping my son grows up and gets to see Juan Soto with the New York Yankees, and I think that's pretty realistic. Same thing with Judge. Judge is going to finish his career here, but Judge is 6 years older than Soto. And it's not them versus each other. They are a tandem. They are on the same team. They bat right next to each other. And, you know, it was, you know, Judge's team. He's the captain. But we saw the last 2 years, right? 2022 was all Judge. 2023 was devoid of Judge. They had to add another bat. And like, bro, we needed outfielders. We needed left-handed hitting power. Guys that could get, like, Juan Soto is everything. But Judge is coming around. Judge is not hurt. Judge is seeing it better. At least he's making contact now. Judge tonight, that home run, he passed Derek Jeter on the all-time Yankees home run list. That's 261. Judge is an all-time great here. Judge has 7 years of service for the New York Yankees. We love Judge. That's why we were concerned. We were concerned about a loved one, right? If a family member is not acting right, if a family member has unusual behavior, you're trying to get to the bottom of it. But he's a family member that we can't ask, right? He's a family member that we can't say, hey, what's wrong, buddy? What's going on with you? It's baseball. That's all it is. It's baseball. And it's early. And Judge looks good the last 2 days. Let's hope it continues the next game. They have to take this next game. They have to take the series, go on the road, and continue. I saw a stat from Eric Bolin. He said Juan Soto has reached base safely in 22 of his 25 games this season, reaching base multiple times in 15 of those games. Overall, Soto is slashing .319, .431, .564 with 6 home runs, 22 RBR, 22 RBI, 5 doubles, 20 walks, and 17 runs. It's stupid. It's April 24th. We haven't been playing for a month yet. It's video game-like. And that's why it's Juan Soto mania. That's why everywhere from downright field, the foul pole, to the bleachers, to the second deck, it's Juan Soto mania. He's a rock star when the guy comes out. But this is New York. This is the Yankees. They're supposed to all be rock stars. There's plenty of room for the both of them. And if we're trying to do what? What are we trying to do, everybody? Get back to the World Series and win it? You need that. It is good. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to the conversation around the Knicks. So I was leaning into it before, I think the second to last break before we did the Casamigos. And I was talking about how everybody just wants to pick at the Knicks. They're like, well, they were lucky to win. They should have lost. They won't win the next game playing like this. It's like, you don't know that. What I see is a team that will find a way. They'll do anything to win. And they literally have to find a way right now because this is the team. I'm still waiting for OG Anunoby to have a good shooting night, right? And I know that the day that Julius Randle went down, I was drinking the Haterade. I was drinking the Haterade. I said, oh, they're done. Team's not going to get whole. We're not going to see that team that we saw in January. But then I reversed course. I'm like, wait, they haven't had Julius Randle in so long. They've adapted. They made trades. Their identity has changed. And this is who they are. And I honestly don't think there's many teams in the East that can really rock with them if it's 7 games, right? Take a look at what went down in Boston tonight. There were plenty of people talking about that in Yankee Stadium. Eric Spoelstra. I was keeping an eye on the score. I'm like, are the Heat actually going to go into the fake Garden and beat the Celtics, the almighty Celtics, right? The 64-18 Celtics. Yeah, they can get beat too any given night. Eric Spoelstra had a plan. They went in there tonight Tyler Herro, 24. Bam, 21. I was going to bet on Caleb Martin, too. How many threes? Oh, wow. Caleb Martin. If you would have bet Caleb Martin, five made threes. He hit five of six tonight. He was on fire. The Heat go in there, and it is their time of year. It's Heat culture. So what I say to the Knicks and the Knicks fans is, man, if you can, this series now is knotted up. If you can win the series in four or five games, like, it's only going to help you. Let's go to Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip? You're back on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my calls. You always do a great show.
Thanks.
So, first of all, before I get to my next point, I do want to say, and when you look at it, the most important thing is the final score. I know it's important how you get there, but the Knicks got two wins, and they should be fortunate and happy and working from there.
And they're playoff wins. These are not regular season wins. They're exactly. So valuable.
Exactly. So, but here's my Knicks point. Brunson's been double-teamed and triple-teamed, and he's not playing the way he did in the regular season. And my question is, if they had Julius Randle, do you think that would have made a difference and would free up Brunson more? Or do you think they would have to focus on Randle?
We all know. Randle's size, pause, and then Randle's 25 and 10, like, you can't put 2-3 guys on Brunson, because if you can give it up to Randle, Randle's going to big body somebody and just get to the rack. Or, we know. They don't necessarily have, DiVincenzo is not the same kind of player as a Randle. He can shoot, he can score the ball, but he can have a cold night shooting. Julius Randle can big boy you. Julius Randle can just force his will upon you. It would look a lot different with Julius Randle. They would not be able to sick everybody on Jalen Brunson because they would have to respect Julius Randle.
And that's probably why Brunson's not having the same season he had with the Randle. That's my question. How far do you think the Knicks can go to the playoffs without Randle? Do you think they could win it all?
I reverse course because I said I was drinking that haterade thinking, without Randle, they're not going to get very far. They might lose to the Sixers in the first round. And I'm like, no, their identity has changed now, right? Josh Hart has stepped up now. I don't know. I think that they can survive this round for sure. They're up 2-0. Yeah. And then we have to see who comes out of the Bucks-Pacers series. Giannis is compromised, man. If Giannis is not available, I think they can beat the Bucks. And even if Giannis is hobbled, I think they can beat the Bucks.
Definitely. But I am worried about Boston. I don't know if they can get by Boston.
Boston is the one seed, so you don't have to worry about them until the Eastern Conference Final. If they get there, they just got checked by the Miami Heat on their home floor tonight. Now they got to go down to Miami. Like, Miami, historically, plays very well at home. Heat culture, this is their time of year.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. But I think they'll get by the Sixers.
Absolutely.
I do think the Sixers will take one game. And so don't
me too. That's why I said Knicks in five, gentlemen sweep. Thanks for the call, Philip. So the report that I read is Giannis Antetokounmpo is still not able to run or scrimmage. If he is not able to run or scrimmage, what are we talking about, bro? He's not going to be able to play in this whole series. So he's just going to magically. All right. The quote was, I'm told Giannis has at least started to do some stationary jump shooting. But still not much cutting, no scrimmaging, and no running yet at all. The Bucks have to be prepared to keep playing without Giannis. If you are not, it's now, yo. It's now. Look at the schedule. If he can't run right now, is he just magically going to be able to run in 2 weeks? In the second round? You tell me, man. I don't know. I don't think a guy that right now is just doing stationary shooting isn't able to run. And even if he does play, he's going to be compromised. Like, I look at Embiid, all right, yeah, I got to give him some props. He's hobbled, clearly. He is not himself. Let's say he's 75% of himself. But 75% of himself can still go out there and get 30, 35 points. What is Giannis right now? 50% of himself? Is he going to get up to 75% of himself to be able to play? Run and dunk man? Run and dunk man can't run? That's his whole game. Running through the middle of the paint to try and dunk the ball. A hobbled Giannis only shooting Sign me up. Lou is out in Astoria on the fan. What's up, Lou? You got it.
Hey, Bulls. How are you? How's everything?
Good. Great. How are you?
Listen, with the Yankees, I'm not very happy about it like you, what? But I'm not going to talk about that right now.
Because it's the Oakland A's? Well, you're not impressed?
You know, nah, yeah, I know. You know, this guy Rondon, he had a hell of a game against this team. You know, yeah, you know, I don't trust these
two guys. Have pitched since Tim. Stroman struck out nine yesterday. They won.
Korchman
struck out six today. They won. What does this have to do with Carlos?
I'm a realistic. I'm a realistic fan. Let me go to the Knicks because right now.
Okay. Let's go to the Knicks.
As far as the Yankees are concerned, there's about five players that have me very worried. Okay. Anyway, on the Knicks, this idea that Saul and BT have this conversation that without Jalen Brunson, they where he's playing right now. The Knicks are done. Let me tell you something. The reason why the Knicks are winning right now is because Jalen Brunson, even though he's not contributing and being the player that the MVP that he was during the regular season, the 76ers are concentrating on this guy so much that the guys like Hart, everybody else is playing a game, you know what I'm saying, to win the game.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brunson is responsible for what's going on with the Knicks right now. The 76ers, their coach said, hey, we got to start Brunson.
Sure. The whole world
knows
that.
But they forgot about the other guys.
Right. They're daring the other guys to shoot, and these guys are shooting, whether it's Josh Hart, Deuce McBride, Bojan Bogdanovic, DiVincenzo. I know. The first show I hear in the morning is Sal and BT. I hear the midday show. I know what they say. I'm not going to speak on it. I'm going to give my take and my thoughts.
Because they are part of your team. But they don't understand because of Brunson, even though he's not there, he's the reason, the attraction, why the 76ers are way off in the other areas that count. It's a basketball game. You understand?
I mean, and every game is different. We don't know what this next
team.
We don't know what this next game's going to be.
Listen. I tell you what. Listen, the Knicks right now. Okay, they keep doing what they're doing. Brunson ever comes alive, they might win it. You're right. They might go to the finals. But it doesn't matter because Brunson is being the player that everybody wants to stop him, okay, and everybody else is contributing. You take care, my friend.
Thanks for the call. Listen, this is not the regular season. This is the playoffs, okay? Everyone and their mother knows to stop the Knicks. Like, if you're drawing up a game plan to stop the Knicks, You're drawing up a game plan to say, we can't let Jalen Brunson beat us. Duh. So what they're doing is sicking everybody on Jalen Brunson. They are on him to the point where he's getting fouled. He's exerting more energy, trying to get open, trying to get his shots off. When he does get his shot off, he doesn't have his legs on him. He's short. It's weak. But you know what? That is allowing DiVincenzo to get shots off. Josh Hart has been balling. He's been the MVP of the series. They don't respect him. Good. The first game, here comes Miles McBride, Deuce McBride off the bench. Bang, bang, bang. Bogdanovic off the bench. They have enough. They have enough shooters. They didn't have shooters last year. Randall was compromised. IQ got hurt. It basically came down to Brunson, and that was it. Now they have enough guys that are not afraid to shoot, that are able to shoot. They have guys that are rebounding. They're out-rebounding the Sixers. They're getting more opportunities than the Sixers because of their conditioning, because of their hustle, their grit, their effort. They are in better position to win the game. Hello, they won the first two games, and it seems like we're trying to say, well, they can't win the next one unless Brunson goes off. They're finding alternative ways to win without their superstar going off. What happens when their superstar goes off? What happens when there's one game where it's just he's so locked in now, he's seen all the defenses you're throwing at him, he's seen what you're trying to do to neutralize him, and he goes deep in his bag and figures out what moves he has to hit, what...
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome!
Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. We're pouring up a double shot tonight. First one goes to Francisco Lindor. Get right out west before you come back home. Save some of that for when you come back home. I mean, the guy goes up there, gets the party started. He's got 4 hits, 2 homers, 4 RBI. Oh, my. That's why you pay him the big bucks. That's the guy you're looking for. It's early, and he got it to you early. Appreciate you, Francisco Lindor. You are who you said you were. And all rise, here comes the judge. Aaron Judge is not hurt. Aaron Judge is fine. He's seeing it. He tweaked his stance, where he puts his hands, whatever. Man, it was surreal to see that mulligan he got today. He was out. It was a strikeout looking. And he comes back into the batter's box and starts the party and the boogie down with the solo shot early. And then he adds on with another hit, 2 RBIs on the night. And Aaron Judge, you get some kudos too, brother. Good to see you looking good out there. 31,000 plus in attendance. You picked the right game to go to if you went to Yankee Stadium tonight. 877-337-6666. Yeah, great to see Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Homer, and the Yankees put up 7 runs and not have so many scoreless innings. They scored in the first, they scored in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. That's what it's supposed to look like against the poverty Oakland, Sacramento, soon to be Las Vegas A's. 877-337-6666. Doug is in Washington Heights, up next on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good.
Last time I called, you might remember, you had to cut me off suddenly because my Waze app was on and it was talking. So I understand why you cut me off, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, it's in the past. Let bygones be bygones. I'm not holding it against you.
Very good, sir. But usually I call about the Giants, but even though the draft is tomorrow, I'm actually calling you about the Yankees because I'm a Yankees fan, too. And a minute ago, wondering why with Aaron Judge and Soto, you know, with Soto, people are freaking out because of the great start. But Judge, everyone's like, what's wrong with Judge? And I think I actually have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay, so with Judge, we all know what he is as Yankee fans. We're used to him being a beast. And right now he's not being a beast. And we've never witnessed this slump, because he's had those slumps before. We've never seen the slump to start the season. So it's more pronounced. Meanwhile, sorry, I'm going up a fifth floor walk.
I was about to say,
so I'm a little out of breath.
My boy, you in the gym? You working out late?
Oh, get that's awesome. Put those both together. I made it. Anyway, with Soto, he's a great acquisition. You know, he's a superstar. And in recent history, any time the Yankees get a superstar, in year one, it seems like even if they do okay, they don't live up to expectations. Whether it's A-Rod, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton, whether it's Giambi. Meanwhile, Soto, year one, he is exceeding expectations. And I think that's why people are flipping out. And you put one against the other, and it just becomes more pronounced. I'm on the radio, hon.
I'm going to let you go, Doug. I'm going to let you go handle that, bro. I'm going to let you talk to your wife. You made it up the steps. I'll take it from here. Yeah. Juan Soto, when you get to see him every day, when you get to watch his at-bats, when you get to see how he plays with the pitchers, you get to see how every pitch is a battle, the shuffle, the pounding his hip, the nodding, the head wagging, the checking back with the ump, it's different. I don't want to see him play for another team. I'm hoping my son grows up and gets to see Juan Soto with the New York Yankees, and I think that's pretty realistic. Same thing with Judge. Judge is going to finish his career here, but Judge is 6 years older than Soto, and it's not them versus each other. They are a tandem. They are on the same team. They bat right next to each other, and, you know, it was, you know, Judge's team. He's the captain. But we saw the last 2 years, right? 2022 was all Judge. 2023 was devoid of Judge. They had to add another bat. And like, bro, we needed outfielders, we needed left-handed hitting, power, guys that, you know, like Juan Soto is everything. But Judge is coming around. Judge is not hurt. Judge is seeing it better. At least he's making contact now. Judge tonight, that home run, he passed Derek Jeter on the all-time Yankees home run list. That's 261. Judge is an all-time great here. Judge has 7 years of service for the New York Yankees. We love Judge. That's why we were concerned. We were concerned about a loved one, right? If a family member is not acting right, if a family member has unusual behavior, you're trying to get to the bottom of it. But he's a family member that we can't ask, right? He's a family member that we can't say, hey, what's wrong, buddy? What's going on with you? It's baseball. That's all it is. It's baseball. And it's early. And Judge looks good the last 2 days. Let's hope it continues the next game. They have to take this next game. They have to take the series, go on the road, and continue. I saw a stat from Eric Bolin. He said Juan Soto has reached base safely in 22 of his 25 games this season, reaching base multiple times in 15 of those games. Overall, Soto is slashing .319, .431, .564 with 6 home runs, 22 RBR, 22 RBI, 5 doubles, 20 walks, and 17 runs. It's stupid. It's April 24th. We haven't been playing for a month yet. It's video game-like. And that's why it's Juan Soto mania. That's why everywhere from downright field, the foul pole, to the bleachers, to the second deck, it's Juan Soto mania. He's a rock star when the guy comes out. But this is New York. This is the Yankees. They're supposed to all be rock stars. There's plenty of room for the both of them. And if we're trying to do what? What are we trying to do, everybody? Get back to the World Series and win it? You need that. It is good. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to the conversation around the Knicks. So I was leaning into it before, I think the second to last break before we did the Casamigos. And I was talking about how everybody just wants to pick at the Knicks. They're like, well, they were lucky to win. They should have lost. They won't win the next game playing like this. It's like, you don't know that. What I see is a team that will find a way. They'll do anything to win. And they literally have to find a way right now because this is the team. I'm still waiting for OG Anunoby to have a good shooting night, right? And I know that the day that Julius Randle went down, I was drinking the Haterade. I said, oh, they're done. Team's not going to get whole. We're not going to see that team that we saw in January. But then I reversed course. I'm like, wait, they haven't had Julius Randle in so long. They've adapted. They made trades. Their identity has changed. And this is who they are. And I honestly don't think there's many teams in the East that can really rock with them if it's 7 games, right? Take a look at what went down in Boston tonight. There were plenty of people talking about that in Yankee Stadium. Eric Spoelstra. I was keeping an eye on the score. I'm like, are the Heat actually going to go into the fake Garden and beat the Celtics, the almighty Celtics, right? The 64-18 Celtics. Yeah, they can get beat too any given night. Eric Spoelstra had a plan. They went in there tonight. Tyler Herro, 24. Bam, 21. I was going to bet on Caleb Martin too. How many threes? Oh, wow. Caleb Martin. If you would have bet Caleb Martin 5 made threes, he hit 5 of 6 tonight. He was on fire. The Heat go in there, and it is their time of year. It's Heat culture. So what I say to the Knicks and the Knicks fans is, man, if you can, this series now is knotted up. If you can win the series in 4 or 5 games, like, it's only going to help you. Let's go to Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip? You're back on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my calls. You always do a great show.
Thanks.
So, first of all, before I get to my next point, I do want to say, and when you look at it, the most important thing is the final score. I know it's important how you get there, but the Knicks got 2 wins, and they should be fortunate and happy and working from there.
And they're playoff wins. These are not regular season wins. They're so valuable.
Exactly. So, but here's my next point. Brunson's been double team and triple team, and he's not playing the way he did in the regular season. And my question is, if they had Julius Randle, do you think that would have made a difference and would free up Brunson more? Or do you
Absolutely.
Because they would have to focus on Randle?
We all know.
And how long,
Because just Randle's size, pause, and then Randle's 25 and 10, like you can't put 2-3 guys on Brunson, because if you can give it up to Randle, Randle's gonna big body somebody and just get to the rack. Or we know. They don't necessarily have, like, DiVincenzo is not the same kind of player as a Randle. He can shoot, he can score the ball, but he can have a cold night shooting. Julius Randle can big boy you. Julius Randle can just force his will upon you. It would look a lot different with Julius Randle. They would not be able to sick everybody on Jalen Brunson because they would have to respect Julius Randle.
And that's probably why Brunson's not having the same season he had with the Randle. And that's my question. How far do you think the Knicks can go to the playoffs without Randle? Do you think they could win it all?
I reverse course because I said I was drinking that haterade thinking, without Randle, they're not going to get very far. They might lose to the Sixers in the first round. And I'm like, no, their identity has changed now, right? Josh Hart has stepped up now. I don't know. I think that they can survive this round for sure. They're up 2-0. Yeah. And then we have to see who comes out of the Bucks-Pacers series. Giannis is compromised, man. If Giannis is not available, I think they can beat the Bucks. And even if Giannis is hobbled, I think they can beat the Bucks.
Definitely. But I am worried about Boston. I don't know if they can get by Boston.
Boston
without.
Is the one seed, so you don't have to worry about them until the Eastern Conference Final. If they get there, they just got checked by the Miami Heat on their home floor tonight. Now they got to go down to Miami. Like, Miami, historically, plays very well at home. Heat culture, this is their time of year.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. But I think they'll get by the Sixers.
Absolutely.
I do think the Sixers will take one game in Philadelphia.
Me too. That's why I said Knicks in 5, gentlemen sweep. Thanks for the call, Philip. So the report that I read is Giannis Antetokounmpo is still not able to run or scrimmage. If he is not able to run or scrimmage, what are we talking about, bro? He's not going to be able to play in this whole series. So he's just going to magically... All right. The quote was, I'm told Giannis has at least started to do some stationary jump shooting, but still not much cutting, no scrimmaging, and no running yet at all. The Bucks have to be prepared to keep playing without Giannis. If you are not, like, it's now, yo. It's now. Look at the schedule. If he can't run right now, is he just magically going to be able to run in 2 weeks in the second round? You tell me, man. I don't know. I don't think a guy that right now is just doing stationary shooting isn't able to run. And even if he does play, he's going to be compromised. Like, I look at Embiid. Like, all right. Yeah, I got to give him some props. He's hobbled, clearly. He is not himself. Let's say he's 75% of himself. But 75% of himself can still go out there and get 30, 35 points. What is Giannis right now? 50% of himself? Is he going to get up to 75% of himself to be able to play? Run and dunk, man? Run and dunk, man, can't run? That's his whole game. Running through the middle of the paint to try and dunk the ball. A hobbled Giannis? Only shooting? Sign me up. Lou is out in Astoria on the Fan. What's up, Lou? You got it.
Hey, Bulls. How are you? How's everything?
Good. Great. How are you?
Listen, with the Yankees, I'm not very happy about it like you, what? But I'm not going to talk about them right now.
Because it's the Oakland A's? Well, you're not impressed?
You know, nah. Yeah, I know. You know, this guy Rondon, he had a hell of a game against this team. You know, yeah, you know, I don't trust this
two
dude.
Two guys
I
have
mean,
pitched
you know,
since Tim. Stroman struck out nine yesterday,
was,
they won.
I know, he was
Clark
great,
Schmidt
you know what?
Struck out six today, they won. What does this have to do with
Carlson? I'm a realistic fan. Let me go to the Knicks, because right now...
Okay, let's go to the Knicks.
As far as the Yankees are concerned, there's about 5 players that have me very worried. Okay, anyway, on the Knicks, this idea that Saul and BT have this conversation that without Jalen Brunson, they where he's playing right now, the Knicks are done. Let me tell you something. The reason why the Knicks are winning right now is because Jalen Brunson, even though he's not contributing and being the player that the MVP that he was during the regular season, the 76ers are concentrating on this guy so much that the guys like Hart, everybody else is playing a game, you know what I'm saying, to win the game.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brunson is responsible for what's going on with the Knicks right now. The 76ers, their coach said, hey, we got to start Brunson.
Sure. The whole world knows that.
They forget about the other guys there.
Right. They're daring the other guys to shoot, and these guys are shooting, whether it's Josh Hart, Deuce McBride, Bojan Bogdanovic, DiVincenzo. I know. The first show I hear in the morning is Sal and BT. I hear the midday show. I know what they say. I'm not going to speak on it. I'm going to give my take and my thoughts.
Because they are your part of your team. But they don't understand because of Brunson, even though he's not there, he's the reason, the attraction, why the 76ers are way off when the other areas that count is a basketball game. You understand?
And every game is different. We don't know what this next
team.
We don't know what this next game is going to be.
Listen. I tell you what. Listen, the Knicks right now. Okay, they keep doing what they're doing. And Brunson ever comes alive, they might win it. You're right. They might go to the finals. But it doesn't matter because Brunson is being the player that everybody wants to stop him, okay? And everybody else is contributing. You take care, my friend.
Thanks for the call. Listen, this is not the regular season. This is the playoffs, okay? Everyone and their mother knows to stop the Knicks. Like, if you're drawing up a game plan to stop the Knicks, you're drawing up a game plan to say, we can't let Jalen Brunson beat us. Duh. So what they're doing is sicking everybody on Jalen Brunson. They are on him to the point where he's getting fouled. He's exerting more energy, trying to get open, trying to get his shots off. When he does get his shot off, he doesn't have his legs on him. He's short. It's weak. But you know what? That is allowing DiVincenzo to get shots off. Josh Hart has been balling. He's been the MVP of the series. They don't respect him. Good. The first game. Here comes Miles McBride, Deuce McBride off the bench. Bang, bang, bang. Bogdanovic off the bench. They have enough. They have enough shooters. They didn't have shooters last year. Randall was compromised. IQ got hurt. It basically came down to Brunson, and that was it. Now they have enough guys that are not afraid to shoot, that are able to shoot. They have guys that are rebounding. They're out-rebounding the Sixers. They're getting more opportunities than the Sixers because of their conditioning, because of their hustle, their grit, their effort. They are in better position to win the game. Hello, they won the first two games, and it seems like we're trying to say, well, they can't win the next one unless Brunson goes off. They're finding alternative ways to win without their superstar going off. What happens when their superstar goes off? What happens when there's one game where it's just he's so locked in now, he's seen all the defenses you're throwing at him, he's seen what you're trying to do to neutralize him, and he goes deep in his bag and figures out what moves he has to hit, what footwork he has to hit, where he has to go at each level to score the basketball, and he goes off in Philadelphia for 35, 40 points. And then the rest of those guys don't have to pick up the slack, but they are. Everybody was in double digits. OG Anunoby, I said OG Anunoby had 10 points. In the first game, how much did he have? Wait till OG Anunoby has a 20-point game. Right? It can happen. I just think there's too many people talking about they can't win it unless Brunson is regular season Brunson. Well, you know what? The game plan from Nick Nurse and company is to make sure that Brunson is not Brunson, and the Knicks are up 2-0. They have the leverage. We'll see what happens. That's why we watch, and that's why we talk about it on The Fan, and you guys are tweeting all about it, and you guys are making your plans to drive down there tomorrow right now. 877-337-6666. Let's take a break. Play some more sounds. We'll take more of your calls right after this. Keith McPherson on The Fan. That's me. This is KM to 2 a.m. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Appreciate y'all for real. You could do anything else. You could go listen to Rich Boy's album. Don't do that. Back in the day, Rich Boy dropped an album. It was a dud. You could go listen to other podcasts, other radio stations. You could go watch TV. Instead, you're locked in on The Fan in New York. As we approach midnight, heading into Thursday, NFL draft day. We're about to start talking about the draft because I can't help it. I started doing that last night once the clock hit 12 and I realized, I'm like, now we can say the draft is tomorrow. Let's start talking about the draft. I just saw, Caleb Williams. Now that the media has all descended on Detroit, all the players are out there, the first round players, and they're interviewing these guys about where they want to go. And we'll get to some of that. Maybe, I don't know if we have any audio, Connor. And Connor's about to be done at 12. Fleegs, where you at? Hurry up, bro. If it's Fleegs coming in, I think it's Fleegs coming in. We can get some of the guys like Malik Nabers and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy talking about the Giants and even some of the guys talking about the Jets. So Caleb Williams said he wants the Bears to draft Olu-Fashanu out of Penn State at number 9. He said, I'd probably go Olu-Fashanu because I know he'd put his life on the line for me. Caleb and Olu were teammates together in high school. And, you know, the Bears having the number 1 pick, obviously they're taking Caleb Williams. And then at number 9, there was rumors earlier this week that it would be Rome Odunze out of Washington because Rome Odunze was on the same flight with Caleb Williams. And then more came out that they got together to, you know, run routes and catch passes and work out together. I'm saying that to say this. Who picks number 10? The Jets. I think if the Jets want Brock Bowers, nobody's going to beat him to it. Sure, have him. Nobody's going to beat him. No one's trading up for a tight end. Nobody's going to beat him to it. If you want your tight end of the future, this tight end that you've been longing for, sure. But guys like Rome Odunze could come in and immediately be a number 2 wide receiver. You know how dirty the Jets would be with Aaron Rodgers throwing to Garrett Wilson and Rome Odunze? I'm just trying to picture these guys running routes downfield, shaking defenders, getting open, and Rodgers just doing his little sidearms, hitting these guys. Or if Olu-Fashanu is there, assuming that he's the second tackle off the board behind Joe Alt, that is a guy that you groom with Tyron Smith to get ready to be the left tackle for the next decade plus. And as soon as Tyron Smith has a knee, an ankle, a hamstring, a shoulder, an elbow, whatever, it's like, Olu, you ready? Good, you got it, boss. And I don't know. I think the Jets could go tackle or wide receiver right there and not go tight end. Or if Marvin Harrison Jr. drops, man, you trade up and you go get him and you unite the Ohio State boys, and then that's problems. That is problems for everybody. So 877-337.
Keith, we do have one piece of audio here.
Yeah, who is it?
It's J.J. McCarthy on the Rich Eisen show. He was asked, does he know where he's going? And he has a pretty interesting answer.
Yeah, run it.
I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, mm-hmm. Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know, like, most of the install because Coach Dable came from Alabama and Coach Gattis came to Michigan from Alabama.
So maybe, Keith, the future quarterback of the New York Giants, J.J. McCarthy.
Bruh. If I'm Daniel Jones, I'm not showing up to work. I'm not going to the facility. I'm like, you think this kid is better than me? You guys are spending time with this kid like that? I don't know. The J.J. McCarthy hype to me is just like, what? You know, I guess. I feel like that's the Giants defaulting into, well, we're at 6 and we need a quarterback and this is the quarterback we're going to get. You could do better. You could do better. But, you know, that's also him projecting and hoping that he goes high and he doesn't become the next Will Levis and fall to the second round. Yeah, I don't know. I just J.J. McCarthy doesn't do it for me. Where the Giants are right now, you need an impact player. J.J. McCarthy was not in the top 3. It was always Caleb Williams and Drake May. And then Jaden Daniels going to LSU kind of came up on the radar, and then he obviously won the Heisman. He was there. Michael Penix Jr. was talked about more than J.J. McCarthy. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is more NFL-ready than J.J. McCarthy. But what do I know, man? Maybe they
J.J. McCarthy only threw for 300 yards 3 times in 2 years.
He's not like that. When you watch Michigan play, it's not about J.J. McCarthy. When you watch Michigan play, it's about their running game and their defense. So, like, this is the NFL. You already have a quarterback that can't throw the ball into the end zone. You already drafted a quarterback number 6 overall. I feel like drafting J.J. McCarthy is like drafting Daniel Jones again. 877-337-6666. I'll say good morning on the other side, and the next 2 hours will be wide open for NFL draft talk. Giants fans, call me up. Jets fans, call me up. Knicks fans, stay on the line. We're going to go to you first, as I know I stirred the pot talking about Jalen Brunson, talking about OG Anunoby, who had 10 and 11. Maybe he'll go off for 20 points at some point. I think Josh Hart can still keep it up. We'll talk Knicks. Yankee fans, you got it as well, right? You know, Lou and Astoria is not impressed with them beating the Oakland A's. I just have fun at the stadium. Like, I like when I drive up there in traffic And I feel like it was worth it. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.